know what God might do in November, and I certainly don't want to become numbers oriented, like we have to have so many people in the service, we have to have so many people saved, so many people baptized. I think that in a way can be counterproductive and even wrong. But I do know this: when revival comes, it will not be like it is now.
That's right.
It'll be different.
You're right, Richard.
It'll just be different. And so I don't think there's anybody that's sitting in here or whoever might be watching home tonight, I don't think any one of us would deny we need something from God. So that's what we're asking for tomorrow night. That's what we're going to ask next month and the month to follow, as we go to these different churches and praise the corporate body of Christ. God, we want you to move. And I'm just asking you to come be part of it tomorrow night if you can at all do that. I know some people work on Monday nights, things like that. I realize that. But if you can be here, certainly make your way here for that tomorrow evening. So just a lot of good things coming up. And that's one of them. So tonight, we're going to be beginning a series. I think it may have been on a Wednesday night during our prayer time. An individual had asked for prayer over a person that they had attempted to witness to, and they didn't get very far with the person. And by the way, you can have all the right answers. You could be spiritually prayed up, but a person is still of free will, and they can still say no.
That's right.
So please don't get discouraged or think, well, I must be doing something terribly wrong because, you know, this person's not willing to listen to the gospel. That doesn't mean that necessarily. So don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. But that the individual said, I don't know if I understood where they were coming from and just wanted to know how to witness to a person of this particular faith. And I can't remember what they said the faith was. So I kind of took that to heart. And so I'm going to start a series tonight that I just titling Witnessing to Different Faiths. And of course, we know this past Monday, Pope Francis died. Of course, the Roman Catholic Church has been observing that, as all the world has been observing that all week long. I did find something that is interesting. I'm not gonna disparage Roman Catholic people. I have Roman Catholic friends. I'm not disparaging them. I was reading some of the prayers that I guess the Vatican was asking the Roman Catholic Church to pray for the Pope, and one is that God would forgive his sins so that he can obtain heaven. The Vicar of Christ.
Right.
The Holy Father. And had no assurance of heaven. You talk to a Catholic priest, and some of you have, and I have, they are not sure of heaven.
That's right.
No Roman Catholic is. And so I thought, well, with the Pope's passing, the Cardinals now, I guess now in seclusion, or soon will be, to choose the next Pope, it just seemed appropriate to start with the Roman Catholic Church. I tell you what, after what we heard during the Bible study hour this morning with Brother Khalid, when I think it was Jessica asked about witnessing to people who are of the Muslim persuasion, he gave some tremendous, tremendous help. And in fact, after we spent a little bit of time with him this afternoon, he said, you know, I'd be willing to come back and teach your church on how to effectively witness to Muslim people. He said, I'm going to be in Ohio later. And so that may work out. Maybe that would be possible later on. But anyway, we're going to start here with the looking at Roman Catholicism. And again, I want to make a point. I'm not here to try to disparage at all, but simply try to help us understand how we can hopefully more effectively witness to these people when God gives us opportunity to do that. So we'll start with the word prayer. We're not going to get a long way here tonight. We've got a meeting coming up here with the men a little bit, so we'll try to be cognizant of the time. Father, I thank you for what we just sang. Lord, I know we're kind of studying tonight, trying to equip ourselves, and you tell us that we're to equip the saints so that we can more effectively walk with you and reveal you to other people. Now, the gospel is the gospel that never, ever changes, but there is I think all of us understand there are things we need to know in order to try to minister to people where they're at. So I ask that you would help me tonight, Lord, just for those who are here. I know there are people watching at home. Lord, I ask that you would use this for our benefit so that we can benefit someone else in trying to present the gospel. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Does everybody have an outline? Okay. We're going to try to do this every week with this. You'll see behind me words that you will fill in for this outline. Simple stuff, but kind of help keep us engaged in this. So we're talking here tonight about witnessing to Roman Catholics and basically presenting biblical principles for these people to consider. Now, I'm using an outline, if you will, from a man by the name of Mike Gendron. Mike Gendron received his applied mathematics degree from Louisiana University and went to work for NASA. He worked at Cape Kennedy in the space program. He was a devout Roman Catholic. Devout. When I say devout, I mean a defender of the Catholic faith. Very devout. After working at the Space Center there in Florida, he decided to go for an MBA, got his MBA at the University of Texas, and then went into the business world for several years. And while he is advancing financially, bettering his life, there was a void there in his Catholic faith. And he did the same thing that the young man who's going to be here with us in a month from today, Brady Scott, this young man that we're going to bring in to intern this year, same thing happened to him. Total emptiness in Roman Catholicism. And Mike Gendron did the same thing that Brady Scott did. He began to search the scripture for himself. And he came to the truth. So this gentleman, Mike Gendron, after getting saved, got a burden for his Roman Catholic friends and family. And God began to prompt his heart. He went to Dallas Theological Seminary, got a degree from Dallas Theological, and he has a ministry focusing on Roman Catholic people, trying to bring Roman Catholic people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so much of what we're going to see tonight comes from this man. I'm not really familiar with him. I don't necessarily promote Dallas Theological Seminary. There's good and bad in it, but this man here has an understanding because he was one. He was a Roman Catholic. And so these things that we're going to see tonight, much comes from him. One of the things he pointed out, the things I read from him, was it was similar to what I think we heard this morning from Brother Khalid. Ask questions about the other person's faith. Get engaged in what they believe. Let them speak their beliefs to you. I, at times in witnessing, am just kind of quick to shove the gospel down somebody's throat. I won't do it if they tell me to stop. I did that one time here, bus ministry. I went to a bus parents' home. You've probably heard me say it before. And I forced the gospel down a man's throat. And the Holy Ghost convicted me, and I had to drive back to their home several days later and ask forgiveness. But I'd blown it with him, and he wanted nothing to do with me. He said, please stop. Please do not do this. And I would not stop until I gave him the gospel. I was wrong. So that's kind of the approach I think sometimes we might have in the back of our mind. I just got to get the gospel to him. And we do. We just got to get the gospel to people. But here he encourages us to let people speak about what they believe so that you don't end up coming to the standard, well, I believe what you believe. You know, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, I believe he died on the cross. I believe if, you know, I asked him to forgive me. You know, those things. Now, I realize, again, you can say everything right and then you still may get that response. But asking questions, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Just asking people questions about their faith so that you kind of know where they stand and you can take a little more intelligent approach from this. So we'll go right into the outline here tonight. Number one, in witnessing Roman Catholics, establish Scripture as the supreme authority for truth. establish Scripture as a supreme authority for truth. And here again, this is going to be an important principle in ministering to Roman Catholic people, because they do not believe that the Scripture is the supreme authority, or at least not the only authority. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 tells us all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. You notice the very first thing it's profitable for is doctrine. And what does the word doctrine mean? Tell me.
What you believe.
It's what you believe. It's teaching. That's when you look up the word doctrine, teaching. These are the things we would teach about salvation, about Jesus Christ, about God the Father, about the Holy Spirit, about His means of salvation. God says the Scripture, it didn't say the Baptist Church. It doesn't say the Roman Catholic Church or any other church. He says this, the Scripture, is given by inspiration of God. And the Scripture is profitable for doctrine. Of course, other things, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness. That we want to be able to eventually, as you ask questions, you find out about what Roman Catholics believe. They're probably going to tell you, like if you would say, what do you believe about the Bible? Well, we think it's the Word of God. Is that the only thing that you believe gives you truth? Well, yes. Well, anything else? Well, we believe, you know, what the Pope says, you know, when he speaks ex cathedra, you know, when he sits in his chair there, or in his throne there in the Vatican, and he speaks from that throne. Ex cathedra means that what he says is truth.
That's right.
And is not error. You have to accept whatever the Pope says. Okay, well, that's authority. A lot of the dogma of the Catholic Church, and we're going to see this here in a moment as we read some of these things. You got to follow the tradition that the Catholic Church lays down, and you got to listen to what the Pope says. And then third, you throw in the Scripture. And so what you want to try to do is get them back to the understanding that it's not any church's tradition, it's not a man's words, whether it be the Pope or the head of the Episcopal Church or the head of the Anglican Church or the head of the Baptist Church. That's not, it's just this, the Scripture.
Amen.
Just the Scripture. So you notice the statement underneath. You must always test the uninspired words of men with the inspired Word of God, which is our only source for truth. Now that's important, because many of the things that the different popes, and now we're up to our, 267th pope, something like that, through the history of the Roman Church, they don't always agree. They say different things. And so, understanding that there is not this total agreement means that there's no authority in what they're saying. So you want to show them there is something, a source in which you can find the inspired words of God and not have to take the uninspired words of men. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. You don't have to rely on all those other things. You just need to rely on the Word of God. Now, the problem with the Roman Church historically, and it's still true in most countries today, and the United States is a little different because the Roman Church has never dominated the United States. If you want to label the United States, it would be more of a Protestant nation. When you go into dominated Catholic nations, you will find the Roman Church forbids this.
That's right.
You can't have this. So you notice here some of the different councils that the Roman Church has had. The Council of Tarragona, that's a city in Spain, of course, many years ago, 1229, they came to this. One of the conclusions of the council at that time was this, quote, no one may possess the books of the Old and New Testament in the Romance language, and if any man possesses them, he must turn them over to the local bishop within 8 days after the promulgation of this decree, so that they may be burned. You say, what is a Romance language? It was Spanish, Italian, French, Portuguese, those languages in the part of Europe that was heavily Catholic. They called them Romance languages. He said, if you're French and you have a French Bible, or you have a Bible that would be maybe translated into that, of course, basically the Bible then was Latin. They said, if you have a Bible that's been translated in one of these languages, you must turn it into your priest, and they must burn it. That's pretty brazen.
Yes.
You notice also another council, the Council of Trent, was in the 16th century. Just read the quotes here. It says, those who presume to read or possess them, talking about the Bible, without permission may not receive absolution from their sins until they have handed them over to the ordinary. Talking about the ordinary meaning the bishop or the priest. They had to hand them over to the priest there in that area. He is the ordinary among the line of Catholic authority. You got the Pope, you got the cardinals, the bishops, and so forth, the priest. So you had to turn that in. Otherwise, you couldn't have your sins forgiven. Imagine that. You can't own a Bible, and if you do, your sins can't be forgiven. I mean, what kind of logic is that? Notice the second statement. Translations of the New Testament made by authors of the first class of this list shall be permitted to no one. That list was the prominent Reformationists. You know, your Luthers and all those men of this time period. They said if you have anything from those men, of course they were burned at the stake. They were called, you know, men who were going against God. They said if you have anything, then you must discard it. You must get rid of it. You cannot have these things. So what's the point there? That through the generations, Roman Catholicism has said, you really cannot understand this. So I remember witnessing to a Roman Catholic lady, and I just asked her, I said, let me ask you a question. Do you read the Bible? And you're going to find they don't. Or they read it very little. I think that woman at the time said, well, I've read a little bit of it once in a while. I read it, but they really don't go to Scripture. Why? Because they have a greater authority. They have the Pope, and they have the traditions of the Church. So, in witnessing to a Roman Catholic person, you want to try to bring them back to the truth. And how do you get them to the truth? By using the truth. The 2 Timothy 3:16. 1 Timothy chapter 2, 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Going back to, you know, what Joshua said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Take them back to that. You could even give them the example of the church at Berea. These were more noble in those in Thessalonica in that they searched the scriptures. And you could say to a Roman Catholic friend, let's say you got a neighbor, and you're trying to build a rapport, and you begin to question them. Well, what's your authority? Well, the Pope's my authority. Our Catholic dogma is our authority, and the Bible too. Okay, well, let's look what the Bible says. And that will help get their focus on this. That's what happened to this young man that's coming to our church. It was this that got his attention. What happened to this gentleman, this Mike Gindron? This book got his attention, and he realized the authorities from other areas is not really authority at all.
Amen.
It's just this book. So try to focus your Catholic friends, your people that you're trying to minister to, toward that. Number two, proclaim the Lord Jesus as the all-sufficient Savior. Proclaim the Lord Jesus as the all-sufficient Savior. Now, for you, that seems like, duh, of course, but not so to a Roman Catholic. Now, if you ask them, do you believe Jesus is Savior? Yeah. But there's a whole lot more they believe. I had a chance. We ordered some Mexican food up at El Rincon. This is several weeks ago. A couple months ago, actually, and I went up to pick it up in Bridgeport, and of course, everyone who works there is Hispanic, And the guy behind the counter was just real friendly, real happy, and engaged him. I had a Spanish track with me. I gave him the Spanish track. And, of course, he speaks Spanish. He spoke broken English. Don't know how long he's been here. So I began to engage him a little bit. And he had a cell phone that has a translator on it, so he would speak Spanish and it would show English. So we were kind of talking back and forth that way. So anyway, it's been a while, so I don't remember all the conversation. But bottom line, I was able to get him a Spanish Bible. And I took it up to him one day and I said, would you read this? I just want you to read this. Now, why am I doing that? Because my words in itself mean very little, but that book means everything. And he said, I'm very confused. He said, I have a friend that goes to it may have even been a Baptist church, and I'll go with him, and it's so different from what I understood as a Catholic. I don't know, just what we heard today, I don't know what's true. I do not know what's true. Is it the Catholic Church? Is it the Methodist Church? Is it the Baptist Church? Is it the Jehovah's Witness? Is it the Mormons? Is it this? Is it that? I don't know what's true. So, pointing them to this. Point people to the Word of God, because in this book, they come to see there is one who's all sufficient. Look at the verses here, Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's just through His name. We can look at Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost. He, Jesus, is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now, these are just two of many verses. You could take them to John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. That's it. It's not by the Baptist Church. It's not by the Roman Catholic Church. It's not by the traditions of churches. Not even Baptist traditions, because we have our own traditions. If we're honest, we do. It comes through a person, Jesus Christ. So you see the comment underneath. We must show that His work of redemption is finished, perfect, and all-sufficient to save sinners completely and forever. Now, for time's sake, if you want to the side, you can write down these references. These would be possibly helpful. I'm talking about an opportunity that God may give you for the next-door neighbor. Our next-door neighbor, one right beside us, they are born-again people. In fact, we spent some time with them a few months back. The people who lived there before them, which some of our men know because of the construction here, they're Roman Catholic. And I've been trying to get the gospel to them, and I've witnessed to him. And I can just tell you, they don't see the all-sufficiency of the Word of God or of Jesus, because that's not what they've been taught all these years. But in that situation, I know, you know, I'll have opportunity to continue to minister to them. Try, anyway. So I'm talking about a setting like that. Maybe you get to know somebody at work and during, you know, a break, or maybe after work, you know, you get opportunity to just sit down and really get to know the person and talk to them. You know, you begin to use these scriptures to help them to see these truths, to see the supreme authority of the Bible, to see the all-sufficiency of Jesus Christ. It's not Jesus plus Mary plus the saints plus, no, it's none of that. It's just Jesus. It's just Him. So, again, Romans chapter 3, you can write this down, Romans chapter 3, verses 24 through 26 and verse 28. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. And then Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, those are verses that can help in that area. And then the third, and this may be where we end tonight, share the promise of the gospel, which is eternal life. Share the gospel, or share the promise of the gospel, which is eternal life. Not just Roman Catholics, but even Baptist people I meet. And by the way, I witnessed to Baptist people. I've even witnessed to a Baptist preacher, and the guy got very angry with me. A Southern Baptist preacher got angry with me because I questioned him. I want people to try to witness to me.
Yes, sir.
I really do. The only time I've ever been witnessed to in my life was in my home church. Sunday night, walked in. I was a teenager, and a man back in the back saw me, walked up to me, and began to witness to me. You know, sometimes there are people who walk in this church they need witness to. They can hear me preach, but be alert because it might be like after the service, hey, could I talk to you for a minute? And God may use you to individually. Does it make sense? You know, so you know, we need to be concerned. So I don't mind if people try to witness to me. That's a good thing. So anyway, what I found, and why I made the comment about the Baptists, I find a lot of Baptists do not have assurance about salvation. They don't know that. They don't know that they can have eternal life. So you notice the reference given here. This is, a classic verse that you use in giving the gospel message. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, that you might believe on his name. These things I've given so that you can know. And when I witness to people and have opportunity to go that far, I will tell them. He didn't say you might know, possibly could. He said you can know that you have eternal life.
Yes. Amen.
You can know this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Tremendous passage. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. So again, you share the promise of the gospel, which is eternal life. Let them know that they can know that they can have eternal life, because Catholic people do not believe that. The priest does not believe that. The Catholic priest said, I just believe in the mercy of God, and that when I come to the end of my life, I just believe God is merciful. Well, I do too. I believe God is merciful. But he's more than just merciful. He gives us a promise.
Yes. Amen.
Him to come, that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, what?
Shall.
Absolutely. You will be saved. Thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
Listen, it's not an attitude of humility for the priest to say, well, I'm just depending on the mercy of God to get me to heaven. Well, yes, we are too. In that sense, Titus chapter 2 tells us that. But we can know, we can have that confidence. So you notice a little statement underneath it says, Catholics only have conditional life. Now, I don't know if we may get to it next week, but I'm going to go through a comparison of biblical justification compared to Roman Catholic teaching on justification. They are not the same.
That's right.
They are not the same. So if anything else, having a little bit more understanding as we go through these things, whether it's with Roman Catholicism or Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons or whatever it may be, just having a little more knowledge helps us in knowing how to approach. I'll be honest. I used to struggle witnessing to Jehovah's Witnesses out of my own fault for not being properly prepared with Scripture. And it always boils back down to point number one, the supremacy of the Scripture. And if I really believe that this is supreme,
amen,
then I need to do what I can to equip myself to know this book well enough to be able to point people to the truth, no matter where they're coming from. So we'll stop here for tonight. It's going towards 6 o'clock now. But we'll continue on with this, and hopefully it will help. I'll mention this in closing. One of the Catholics do worship Mary. They try to evade that by calling it veneration. I just tell you, go on Catholic website, and the Catholics themselves have lists after list of prayers to Mary. And they see her far more than just the mother of the Savior. She plays a part in salvation. This gentleman who has served as the Pope, Pope Francis, made this statement. He said, the Immaculate Virgin becomes a sublime icon of divine mercy that conquered sin. To her I entrust the church and all humanity, especially the city of Rome. I'm not trusting Mary to get me to heaven.
That's
right. But I am trusting Jesus Christ. And you know what? I'm not going to blame a Catholic person for believing that if they've not been exposed to the truth of Scripture.
Yes.
So that's why God allows us the privilege of sharing the truth with them. So just seek to do that. And hopefully some of these things that we're learning will help us to become a little better equipped in order to be able to do that tonight and in the future. All right. Well, let's stop there for tonight. So you can bring the outline with you each Sunday night, and as long as it takes to get through this one, and we'll just keep handing those out as we go through this. All right. Let's not going to give a regular invitation tonight. I know all of you, and I'm a little bit worried about Harold, but other than that, I will say this. You know, we've seen people that were members here get saved. So I guess it always is possible. So again, I'll just say, I don't think it's necessary to say it, but our hope of heaven is Jesus Christ alone. The five solas of the Protestant reformers. Let me see if I can say it right. We're justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, according to the Scripture alone, to the glory of God alone. And that was their beef with the Roman Catholic Church. It was Jesus plus all these other things. And they said, no. Grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, according to the Scripture alone, to the glory of God alone. And that's pretty good. Now, I'm not part of the Protestant Reformation. I believe we came through the Waldensians and all those people. That line. However, I like what they said. Because I believe that too. And that's the only way you can be saved. You've got to put your trust in Jesus Christ alone. Nothing else. Being a Baptist won't do it. Being a good man, a good woman, good child won't do it. You've got to put your trust in Christ alone. So again, just like we've seen in the past, if there would be somebody here, and that's not your case, you don't have to walk out those doors without making sure of it tonight. Or maybe somebody's watching tonight. You can be sure of it. You don't have to see this service here, come to a conclusion, and wonder. You can make sure and just call upon Him. Don't call upon the church. You don't call upon a preacher. You don't call upon a priest. You call upon Jesus Christ. He will save you if you ask Him to. So I encourage you to do that. Let's pray. Father, thank You. I know it's a little bit different. We're not just preaching, but pray to be a help. And Lord, I truly do not want to be an offense. I don't know. Maybe somebody of the Roman Catholic faith is watching our service tonight. I pray, Father, they would understand that what is being said is not to be unkind, but to help them see truth. Because Your word is truth. You said, sanctify them through Thy word. Thy word is truth.
Amen.
So, Father, let that be true. Lord, help us to learn. And we'll thank You for it. It's been a really good day. Thank You for bringing Brother Khalid our way. Thank You for the privilege of being able to hear him and the amazing things You are doing in that part of the world. And ask, Lord, that You would bless tomorrow evening as we gather together to pray, that You would be pleased to work in that time of prayer to prepare us, Lord, and to bring about what we have been pleading for a number of people for many years now. We want to see You move. Father, for those who are headed home right now, give them journey mercies, give them a great week, and for the men who are going to gather for the Deacon Trustee meeting, give us wisdom tonight. We'll thank You. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night.